Welcome back, everybody. It's me, Christina.
And I've got Lisa Lynn with here with me again.
Hey, y'all. Long time no see.
They've never seen you. This is a audio
long
medium.
Long time no hear. Shut up.
But yeah, so the Frame Up Job aired on September 16th, 2012. It was directed by Mark Roskin, and it was written by Rogers, Jeffrey Thorne, and Jeremy Bernstein. And I think it was just because it seems hilarious that there are three guys writing this one, and it's just a two-hander. Like, the trio are not here. They're off doing the rundown job. So it just is so funny to me that it took three of them to write this, I guess, easier episode. But it's not, because it's such a fun episode.
Also, it's probably because in the writer's room, all of them are busy doing writing, like, you know, one could be writing this one episode, but then they have one up in production, so they got to go up to Portland. So, like, you know, and then they may be outlining another one down the road. So, like, it could be, like, one or two of them could be jumping in and helping that, so the main writer, so that all three of them get, like, credit for it. I imagine that's the kind of stuff that would be happening. Right.
So there's always on the writing credits, it's always John Rogers and Chris Downey are the creator. And yeah, they do have the whole writer's room. And I remember at the beginning, because they're all always working together, but then it's whoever kind of like stood out for that episode gets the writing credit instead of like, everybody in the room every time. So to have these three listen on IMDb, like, makes me think that they like all really had a hand in it and like plotting it and it doing the lines.
Yeah. So it wasn't one person taking the lead, as it were.
Yeah. 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 Where, like, you know, sometimes it's a writing duo or it's just one person who really stood out. But yeah.
And yes, this was a fun episode. I think it was really clear that we're going for Nick and Nora vibe for this episode. Very much.
They say it in the commentary. Okay, wait, so let's tell everybody what this episode's about.
While the kids are away.
While the kids are away, the parents will play. So when Sophie is the chief suspect in the theft of a priceless work of art, Nate must not only clear her name, but also work with our favorite nemesis to find the real thief. And in the commentary, they did say this is our take on the Thin Man. And then one of them, because it was like all five guys or four guys, the three writers and Mark Roskin, one of them, and I don't know which one, said it's our the Thin Man, but better, because the Thin Man is not good. And I screamed in my house. I was like, what? Because how dare you not say the Thin Man is good? Sure, some of the later movies get a little weird, but the first one is perfect, and I'm offended. Anyways, let's start the episode.
We're starting like right in the middle of this shit. Like, bullets are flying, literally.
Literally. Nate and Sophie come running out of a house. It's night, they're next to a pool, and they're just like bullets are ricocheting everywhere. And they like hide behind some crates, and they start bickering.
Because this is not what, like, Sophie is vexed about. No. She's not mad about the bullets. She's mad at Nate.
Yeah, because she says, if you had just gone to the movies, this would all be fine. if you'd followed my directions. And he says, if I'd gone to the movies, you'd be in jail. She's like, that's better than this. And then it flashes back. And we're going to see how they got into this situation to begin with. They have a really cute scene.
So this all takes place within like the span of about like a day, 12 hours, this whole thing, right? So it's not, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So if this is that night, we're flashing back to that morning, basically 12 hours earlier.
Yeah. So they're in Leverage headquarters, and Sophie comes in and they have a cute moment where they talk about, oh, the kids aren't here. Parker texted and they're still in DC. Mm-hmm. So Leverage Consulting is closed. There's no cases. And
whatever will they do to fill the time?
Yes. And she says, with murder. And she pulls out a brochure for a film, a noir film festival. And he gets so excited because this movie, Mystery Street, which is from 1950 and never gets shown anywhere. And he starts like geeking out about it.
Is this a real movie or is this a movie they made up?
I don't think it's a real movie. I've never heard of it. Not but that I'm like, I don't know like everything about noir, but.
But yes, Nate is like fanboying right now.
It's really cute. Well, I do want to like, at the outset of this episode, because it is a very Nate and Sophie heavy episode. I think a lot, I'm going to be like, oh, Nate's so cool. Like, I really like this. Like, this is not condoning anything that Timothy Hutton has done in his past. This is strictly based on the character of Nate Ford.
In the context of this episode.
In the context of this episode and this format of kind of script and plot, which is just tailor-made to make me happy. So, yeah, I'm not sure if that movie is real, but he is geeking out because it's like the first time they showed real life scientific forensics on a movie or something.
Yeah. And like, apparently like Portland has a film noir festival.
And as he's gushing about this, Sophie like stops him and she says, spoilers, which is a running Doctor Who reference that River Song makes. If you watch Doctor Who, you know. And there'll be a couple other Doctor Who references in this episode. So, but she gives him a ticket and it's just one ticket because she's not going with him.
I mean, and which is when Nate's like spidey senses start going up.
Yeah.
Just one? Well, where are you going? What are you doing?
Yeah. And she claims that she's, her theater's a wreck and she's got rehearsal schedules to sort out and
lighting, guys coming in, whatever. Yeah.
And yeah. It's so cute as she like kisses him and leaves. She says, I'm going to be slaving away in a dusty old theater while you sit back and relax and watch alcoholic, repressed insurance cops harassing tragically misunderstood femme fatales.
And the femme fatales. Yes.
Which is them. That's their story. And he tells her that you're not supposed to root for the criminals, and she says, "Always root for the home team."
And blows him, and blows him a kiss, and she
saunters away. And then we get the next scene is outside of a beautiful mansion, and there's a big crowd, you know, mingling and drinking and having
some sort of like reception sort of situation.
Yeah, and we see somebody telling someone, oh, I'm afraid that most of the artwork has already been sold. And then we see Sophie, not in a dusty theater, but in a lovely dress, talking to this woman named Katrina, as Miss Collins from the London Museum of Art, who just wants to come see these paintings that have already been sold. And we find out that this is the collection of one Mr. Galt, who has Jonas Galt, who's passed away, and his collection has been broken up just weeks after his death.
And I think Sophie is talking to Mr. Galt's like personal
art curator.
Curator, Makia Cox. I think she's the one who's playing the curator. I think.
I believe that is correct.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And yeah, her name's Katrina, and she tells her that the reason that they're all being sold and split up is that his daughter can't cash these checks fast enough. And then we see two women arguing, and there's like one buttoned up in a suit and the other one is obviously drunk, and she's the fourth wife. ex-wife, and the buttoned up one is the daughter.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Very lovely family here.
You can already tell this is gonna be a low drama episode. Like, So Katrina excuses herself and Sophie's standing there and a guy walks up to her and introduces himself. Before he introduces himself, he says, "This is going to sound cheesy, but have I seen you before?" And Sophie acts like really cagey and she's kind of like looking away and she gives him another name and that she's Lady Covington Smythe. And we find out that he's Galt's son, Woodman Galt. But he and his dad had been estranged for a long time and they've recently.
I just want to point out that Woodman Galt is a hell of a name. It is. That kind of just tells you everything you need to know about him.
There's something in the wiki. They're like, well, the name Jonas Galt could be come from a couple different places. So like the Atlas Shrugged character by Ayn Rand is John Galt. And but spelled differently. But they say that Rand's John Galt was influenced and named after a character in a French novel, La Vallée Mysterieuse, which could have a connection with the name of the painting that we're going to talk about soon.
Ah, yes.
But this guy keeps saying, "Man, you look so familiar to me." And she's like, "Oh, you know, I don't know." But then we have, we found out that Woodman and his dad had gotten.
Have been estranged. He had gotten disowned the whole bit.
But now he had come back into his life this last year and they've gotten close again. And she says, "Oh, well, a father and son should leave nothing unsaid at the end." And then her champagne glass is empty and this servant comes over and like replaces it and she's like, "Oh, thank you, you're very kind," and he just starts talking to her and he's like, "You know, with the master having passed, I have little else to do, madam. I prefer to serve."
Oh yes, oh my god, the and butler.
This is Paolo. No, not the butler, the man,
the valet. The valet, the
man, but they call him the man servant.
That's how my dad's answer. He is like so dour.
Dour, he's so creepy. Like Paolo is not a good name for him, but so you know, Woodman says, "You know, I'm sure I've met you somewhere," and she's like, "Ah," and then we hear Nate say, "I doubt that," and he's shown up and he's in a lovely suit. And you know, Sophie chokes in her drink, obviously. And he plays it off like, "Oh, her ladyship dealt with your father's overseas division, so you never would have met her."
And he is like smug and proud of himself right now.
Yeah. And she's like annoyed. You think you're so clever having figured out where I was. And he says, "Yeah, I deduced your location at a random event within 100-mile radius in under 20 minutes. I've had worse mornings."
He can be such an ass.
Oh, he's so smug. He's so smug. But he asks why she lied to him. And she kind of deflects. And she's like, "Oh, this is just old times. Me in the dress and up to my neck in easy marks and valuable art. And you show up all serious." And he calls her on that, too.
But you're being cagey. Mm-hmm. Being very, like, how do they put it in that, you know, oh god, Among Us, you're being very sus right now.
Yes, very sus. And he says, like, "Why is a grifter and an art thief?" And she's like, "Ex-art thief?" Not ex-grifter, like, ex-art thief, though. At a high end.
Why does everybody keep forgetting the ex?
Yeah. And she says, "Ask the insurance cop." And he says, "Ex-insurance investigator."
Like the whole thing with Maggie. Every time we talk, you talk to Maggie. Ex-wife.
Yeah.
Why does he keep forgetting that? Ex-wife, Nate. Ex.
And she says this is a personal thing. That's why she's here at this auction, because she's a fan of his work. And Nate's like, "Jonas Galt, you're a fan of his work?" And then it flips to a scene in like the main foyer of the mansion. And we see Katrina giving kind of a treatise on the real person that Sophie's a fan of, which is the artist Jean Metier, the greatest artist of the French retro school, whose brief career was tragically cut short with his death in 1989. And since then, Jonas Galt has assembled the single greatest collection of Metier in the world. And now they can share all of this collection with other discerning art aficionados and auction them off. So Sophie's like, see, look, I'm just a big fan of Metier. And where else could I have seen so much of his work? But she's like, okay, but the auction's over and they're just going to announce who bought what. So let's go.
But then I think they're like, now those of you with a private invitation can come down to the vault or something or other.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nate just gives her a look like.
Mm-hmm. And he holds out his hand and she puts a ticket in it. And then you can like, somebody in the background is like, where's your ticket? I just had it. She lifted off someone. So they get in and
she must have taken lessons from Parker on Lyft.
Oh yeah. Well, we've seen her do that a lot before though. Not as good as Parker. And the painting that we're gonna see is called Ma Mystère. And since I do not have French as a background at all, I'm like, how is this spelled? It's like mysterious, like M-Y-S-T-E-R-E. So. But we don't know what it is. It is his legendary first painting. There's no pictures of it. There's no reproductions. And it's never been sold or exhibited. So he described it once as his inspiration, she says. And he wrote that it belonged to no one but him. And Nate assumes that she wants to steal it. But she says, no, it's just personal. And he's, you know, this is like a through line of this episode, this kind of Sophie not wanting to say why she's personal, and Nate like frustrated that she's keeping secrets from him because we've come a long way. Like, why
would we moved beyond this.
Yeah. And so she's like, well, tell me how you found me.
Well, and then Sophie's being frustrated because she's just like, just trust me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, along with we've gone through a lot together, that should make you trust me. Like, I shouldn't have to, if I want to keep something secret from you, you have to trust that it's not something that would hurt you.
That it has nothing to do with you. Just, yeah.
So Fiona, the daughter of Galt.
The one in the suit.
The one in the suit. She's like, you know, my dad wanted acquired this painting after Metier's death, and he honored the artist's wishes that it not be shown. She's like, frankly, I would have put in a ticket booth and charged admission. And you're like, you're tacky.
She was trying to bring the funny, but there was just too much truth in it for it to be funny.
Yes. So apparently he kept this painting locked in this vault, and he would come down and look at it every day. And he's the only one who's ever looked at it. Mm-hmm. So now the family lawyer is going to open the vault and everybody will see what inspired a genius. So
the Mamastare.
Right. So Mamastare. So the lawyer opens this envelope that has the password to the vault. And he opens it and, oh my God, the vault is empty. It's been stolen. Bum, 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 bum. And Nate immediately is like, all right, we're out of here. Let's go. And Sophie says, well, I'll be buggered. And so he's rushing them out, and he's not. I don't know. I think it's really interesting, like how he plays this. Like, he's concerned and he's like, okay, we need to get out of here right away because this world famous painting goes missing and you're on the scene. So he is convinced that she has stolen it. And he's like, I have to protect you. We need to leave right now. And
then Sophie and even if he's like, And Sophie's like, how could you think that?
Right? X art thief.
And plus, out in the open, no prep.
I was standing right next to you. Like, if Sophie had stolen it, she wouldn't also be there to watch everyone.
And she was like, I would never. That is insulting. That I, you think I would pull such an amateur, like,
yeah,
you know, no extra strategy, no prep, out in the.
But yeah, but he's like, you know, I barely believe all of that, and I was right next to you. But if somebody like, and then we get the, hello, Nate,
from the one and only Mark Sheppard.
Sterling is here. And, you know, he just ultimatum, give us back the painting and save yourself a lot of bother.
And maybe I won't throw you in that secret French prison.
Yeah.
That Parker was talking about in the broken wing job.
Hey, they have, that wasn't a, that's a very delicious prison. They have good food in there. Yeah, Nate's saying, you know, you're Interpol. You don't have authority to just like drag Sophie out of here.
But I also, I love that you don't even see him. You just hear that voice and that, hello, Nate. And you know, and fans of the show, like the regulars, know exactly who that is and what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody's about to get real frustrated. But Sterling also has a bunch of suits and they're all like young women who like never speak. Very strange. Not strange, but like, and it's funny because it's almost like he's mentoring them as they go, because he's like, and this is how you do this, and this is how you do this, and they're just like, okay,
yes sir, yes sir.
Yeah,
kind of like, if I have to tell you to jump, you ask how high.
Mm-hmm. I can't decide if Sterling having all women is like feminist or if it's gross. Because they're not dressed suggestively.
I feel like when it comes down to the job, he doesn't see gender. Like, he doesn't care. Like, he just wants some people who are competent who can do the job. So I don't feel like he'd be gross about it.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be gross about it in the fact that he is just like abrasive and rude, mm-hmm. but not like in like a gross, like sexist, misogynistic, inappropriate way, just in a like a rude, like, yeah. Just in like a boss who has like, who has anger management, like who needs anger management, basically. Yeah. And who can be like a tad hostile.
Yeah. Okay, good. Like, that's how I felt about it too, but I was like, I don't know if I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt because I like the show. But yeah, like, not even, they're not, some of them are wearing makeup, some of them are not, some of them, you know, so it's not like, oh, these are his like sexy lady agents. They're just, they just all happen to be women, which I like. Because we would never question it if it was just all guys. So. But, yeah, so.
So basically,
so we
Sterling
find out that,
is yeah. absolutely 100% convinced Sophie stole the painting. 100% yes. convinced.
There's no evidence that she would have done it. But apparently he has a new department at Interpol that he created.
Tying art theft forgery to terrorist activity. So therefore.
Yeah.
I mean, which in the context of the show makes sense, because that was kind of like the King George job. The art was funding and, you know. Oh, God. Darn it. What was Gorovishnik's?
Damien yeah. Moreau.
Moreau, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was
the yeah. And Sterling was around for that. And the no, that's King George. I'm thinking first, second David's.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it I think that's cool. But this
I mean, when he, like, and yeah. So, and in the Zanzibar Marketplace job with the Fabergé egg, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not that as far a stretch as one may think.
It's a great arc, actually. It's a great arc for Sterling. Like,
yeah.
If you connect the things that he's been working on for Interpol, that makes sense that he would spin that into his own department, because he is always trying to climb to the top. But when he brags about that, then we get the first of these like little little moments that kind of build throughout the episode, which I love, because Sophie says, "Congratulations." And Nate says, "Oh, we should have sent a card." And she's like, "Oh, we should have," but they're like just talking to each other and ignoring the fact that they are handcuffed and being like interrogated by an
which Interpol is officer. Absolutely sets Sterling off.
Yeah. So he tries to keep talking and, you know, talk about how this was a high profile target, and, you know, now we have the most valuable piece has gone missing, and my favorite art thief is on the premises. And she says, X art thief.
Sophie Devereaux, Indira McAllister, and starts rolling off all these aliases.
Yeah. And then Nate turns to her again, and then they just start bickering, like, "Indira McAllister, I don't know that one. I thought I knew all of the aliases." And she's like, "Darling, no one knows all of them, even me." And Sterling's like, hey, focus.
I'm arresting you here. Like, hello.
Yeah. And he's like, "I need this painting." And she's like, "Look at me. I couldn't hide a cocktail napkin in this dress. Like, I don't have the painting." And Nate's, you know, "You don't have any evidence on either of us about this," which I know that must be really annoying for you. And he says, "Yeah, that's true. I don't have proof, but I can keep you here until I get it." So he, you know, gestures to one of the agents and
cuff him.
Yeah, cuffs him.
And then Sophie gets a little like grabby.
Grabby. And Nate points out, like, Sterling owes Nate, and he's like, "Yeah, that's why I'm bothering to gather evidence before I put you away.
Before I throw you into the Santé."
Yeah. So they leave, and Sophie immediately pulls a pin out of her hair and picks their handcuffs in like 2 seconds and complains about how much she hates him. "I don't know how you were ever partners with him." And she's like, "Oh yeah." And he says, you know, he had his moments. But she's like, "Yeah, hilarious, that crack about a secret prison." And Nate's like, "Oh, no, he was serious."
He meant that.
Yeah. So she's blaming Nate, like, "You couldn't just sleep well enough alone. No, you have to, like,
there's something that doesn't involve me. We can't have that."
Yeah. And he's like, "Going on? What's going on?" And she's like, "If you're going to use your sexy voice, you can just take these." So they're, you know, they're bickering, but also, like, they're honestly having fun.
Let's go see
what happened to this painting. And she kisses them on the cheek, and they just, like, walk out the door.
The fact that they're on, like, they're custodial interrogation, like, it's not even phasing them in the slightest. Like, exactly. details.
Yeah.
But what?
And, like, Sterling's out there with all of his agents, and they just walk back out into the house.
Where they become secret Interpol agents.
Yes.
Secret undercover Interpol. Because they're just trying to... They're gathering intel right now. They're like, "We don't even know what the hell's going on. So, like, let's just get the lay of the land." And I think that's when we get flashbacks, like, about, like, the crazy drunk ex-wife who's convinced that, you know... And then I think this is when we find out that the curator, like, Fiona, the daughter, wanted to fire the curator and all this other stuff.
That's a little further, and we can kind of just skip over things. We don't have to go over every line, but...
Yeah, no, I don't know. But yeah, basically they're just like, okay.
Well, yeah, we haven't even... they haven't done their interrogations, really.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because they haven't interrogated anybody yet, because they're going around the building to look at things. So let's do that first.
Yeah, they're getting the lay of the land, essentially.
Yeah, and because they have to get Sterling the painting back or he won't, that's the only way to get him off their back.
Yes.
So they have to find out who did steal it, and hopefully that'll help. So, yeah, so they tell Schechter first in the vault, he's the lawyer, that they're also undercover Interpol, like you said. And, you know, she's like, "What? Who else would we be? If we were thieves, why would we be hanging around?" And he tells them a lot about the security on the painting. There's a keypad and an RFID tag on the painting itself. So moving the painting should have triggered the alarm.
I think we found out like Jonas Galt would like come down every day to look at the paintings and all this.
Mm-hmm. And he had given this guy the code, but the only time that he used it was moments before when they brought the people down to the vault. And, you know, so we would have seen if somebody had tried to steal it, right? And so now they're like, okay, so who would get the insurance settlement if this thing went missing? So Woodman was disowned, the son. So Fiona, the ex, or the daughter, and Eleanor, the ex, would split it. And he's like, I already told that Interpol guy upstairs, though. So they're like, okay, thanks, bye. And they head out. But Nate first hands him an empty glass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he hands him this empty glass and he's like, you know, could you just drop that off? Thank you. He leaves. And then we have another, so this reference, I think they used it because they usually use it when they're talking about safes. The Glenn Reader safe name, but Glenn Reader was the writing duo who also created Sterling in The Two Horse Shop. So they get residuals every time he shows up in an episode. And, you know, they get name dropped a lot. So this is a museum quality alarm. And, you know, Nate says it would take 2 days to crack, but some of these keys are worn. It's because he's been typing in the same number all of these years.
So we can kind of figure out.
Yeah.
Narrow down the possible combos for the code.
Exactly. And earlier we saw that Schechter spilled his drink a little when he was moving and his fingers were sticky. So they were able to like dust some powder and kind of see which numbers it actually was. And, you know, now we can kind of see, ooh, okay. But where his fingerprints are not on the numbers that are worn. So somebody has changed the code. So, you know, Jonas Galt was the only one who had access to that combination. So he must have changed it before he died. So they need to go get into his room to see if they can figure out what he changed it to or when or how.
And why. And why.
Yeah. And why. You know, all of the W's. And so they're up in his bedroom and Paolo's in there being creepy Paolo. And Sophie's like sweet talking him out of there about how he sent her 500 red roses and a troop of balladeers on her for her sweet 16, which like, ugh, that man would have been so old even when she was 16, like not appropriate. But he's like, that was the Mr. Romantic Heart, but weak in the end. So she thanks him and like sends him on his way. So they're looking around the room and they see like a bunch of things that are already weird. Like his reading glasses are on the wrong side of the bed. You know, they should be over where the reading lamp is. Like,
And his meds, his pill capsules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they hit print on his printer to like reprint the last thing that he had printed from it. And they find this alarm company printout of the times that the vault was accessed. So, you know, they're seeing the regular intervals of him visiting it, but then all of a sudden there's a lot of entries and exits that are all kind of clustered together. So he used a walker. So these were not him. And so something obviously made him suspicious. So he, you know, investigated that. And that's probably when he changed the alarm code. And then he just conveniently died. So it's not just art theft. It's a murder. So they go down the stairs into the lobby and Sterling is following them. And somebody's just like, oh, Sterling, good. Come on, come on.
He thinks you're telling me, not only are you trying to cover up the fact that you probably stole that painting, now you're saying this is a murder too?
He's like, so Sophie murdered Jonas Galt? And they're like, no, what? No. This man was on all of these medications and stuff for his heart and blood thinners. And Sophie's like, look at these prescriptions and the date he died. Count the pills. There are a dozen that are missing. But Sterling thinks that somebody would have stolen them. And Nate's like, yeah, or somebody could cut open the gel caps, take the medicine out, dump it into the glass that Galt kept by his bedside table. And if an old man dies, nobody cares, right? But if it were me, and he's like outside and there's like a pipe and he opens the thing on the pipe and like pulls out a little basket, which I don't know anything about.
Some kind of plumbing, plumbing thing.
So. I have seen those pipes, but I've never opened one up before. Now I'm very, very intrigued by them. And when he opens it up, there are empty gel caps in the...
what a coincidence.
Yeah. So they flushed them down the sink. And they're designed to dissolve in the stomach, but it would take longer to dissolve in water. So that's why they're still there.
Yes.
And Sophie says also he realized that someone had gained access to his vault. So they deduce that it's got to be a member of the household because they would need
to have the ones who are there regularly and would have access and all that other good stuff.
Yeah. So then they like go through everybody. There's the lawyer. And then we see him on the phone saying the estate sale has gone to hell. there's Katrina. Katrina Hart, the art curator, who, you know, the collections are in the house. And, you know, we see her talking to Fiona saying she's never been in the vault. Then there's Fiona, the daughter. And then there's Eleanor, the ex-wife. And she's like drunkenly flirting with a man about tying a cherry stem into a knot. And Woodman, the son, who's like near the pool. And this is when we're kind of seeing like flashbacks of like them talking to everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but Nate's, oh no, they're not. Sorry. I jumped ahead there. But you know, Nate's like, whoever was in the vault the day that Galt died, that's who killed him. And Sterling gives them 1 hour. And if they don't have a suspect, then he's going to take both of them down for this instead. And Nate says, well, I don't need an hour. I've got a Sophie. Yeah.
Well.
And she's got her phone and she puts it on, she's called him and she's put it on mute. Because also this episode, I didn't really notice it until the commentary. They're not using their comms at all.
Yeah.
They're like completely off the grid for it.
This is true. There's
almost
no
like a locked room.
Yeah. This is true. And the kids are gone. So there's no Elliot running tech, and Lucille having their back. There's no Hardison. Elliot. Yeah, Hardison. Elliot's not there to knock somebody out. Parker's not there to do any lifts.
Yeah. Yeah, so they really are doing, they're kicking this old school.
Mm-hmm. Old school,
Which Sophie, just like in the... whatever the episode on the mountain where she's like, I'm at a party surrounded by millionaires who are dizzy from lack of oxygen. Like, this is grifter paradise. Like, she's like, oh, this is an estate sale for a billionaire. I've got it. Don't worry about me. So I've trained
for this my whole life.
Right?
For like,
this is my milieu. And Nate's listening on her phone that she has on mute.
Oh, yes.
But really, he tells her, okay, I was just realizing this. He says, mute the phone. I can hear everything. But what he needs to do is mute his end so that nobody can hear him make any noise. Because if she muted her end, he wouldn't be able to hear anything that she was saying. Yes. So anyways.
I think this is when, like, she's, like, interrogating with Sterling there, and she's, like, deliberately provoking Sterling. I think at one point she calls him Chauncey.
Yes. that's when she's talking to the ex-wife, and she's, like, sitting in his lap. It's so funny. But
Eleanor is convinced that Jonas was like gonna, like, they were getting back together, and it, you know, and the lawyer was saying that, like, you know, they were gonna, well, you know, all this other stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the lawyer was saying that he has to get the documents filed, the marriage certificate, and change the will. Because it's his wish to pass his last days with her, but she's not supposed to tell anybody. She talks to Katrina. She talks to Katrina first, mm-hmm. and just asks them some more questions. You know, like,
right.
You were in charge of all of the paintings. Like, yeah, I was in the house every day. And they're like, oh, that's awful. That means you were here the day that he died. She's like, yes, I arrived in the afternoon, but I didn't have any idea that he slipped into a coma, which makes me so sad because she had been arguing with Fiona when he slipped away. And then we see her talking with Fiona, or we see a flashback to Fiona and her fighting about how she's worked there for 6 years. And Fiona's like, over, I'm firing you.
I see no need for a full-time curator.
Yeah.
We don't like Fiona.
No, Fiona's kind of horrible. They do it really cool. The flashbacks are really neat because they're in black and white, and then Nate is watching them in the flashbacks, and he's in color. And the way that they filmed that was really cool because it'll like pan around and you'll see Nate, and like, they had Timothy Hutton had to like run into frame and be like still when they would like swing back around to show him. I think it was really neat.
Fancy camera tricks.
Right. Yes. They talked to Fiona and they pretended they're shareholders from the UK. And they find out that Fiona was also fighting with Eleanor because she's a leech. Fiona's fighting with everybody except for her brother. I don't ever see her even talk to
Woodman, right?
Woodman. I keep forgetting that name because it's so dumb.
I think probably because like dad disowned him, like whatever. Mm-hmm. So that could be it.
Yeah. Then they also show Sophie and Sterling talking to the lawyer again, and we find out the fake names that she's given them are Agent Tennant and Agent Smith, which are Doctor Who references again, David Tennant and Matt Smith, 10th and 11th Doctors. And so, you know, there was stuff with the will and lots of inheritance issues and things like that. And we find out that Jonas made a very radical decision. He had decided to add Woodman back into the will for his mm-hmm. full share of the inheritance. And in the flashback, we see Woodman say that he doesn't want it. And even though it's millions and his share of the stock, he doesn't want it. So Schechter cannot believe that.
And Nate had that conversation when he was like, yeah, I was your typical rich boy. I screwed around, you know, and whatever. Like, he made it sound like actually being disowned was the best thing that happened to me. Like, I got my shit together. Like, I got into construction. It's all cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's all good.
Yeah, and then I just volunteered to fix the pool so I could be near him.
Yeah.
Because sometimes money just gets in the way. And then Nate brings up Katrina, and Woodman's like, yeah, she's cute, huh? And Nate asks him about her some more. Was she here the day your dad died? And he's like, yeah, she was up there as soon as the maid found him. Mm-hmm. And so, like, at the end of all of this, Nate and Sophie still aren't quite sure who would want Galt dead out of that lot. And Nate's like, all but one of them. Katrina was about to lose her job, but if Galt died first, she'd get a commission for selling the collection.
So they're trying to figure out who has motive here.
Yes. Now, Fiona needed him to die so that before he remarried Eleanor, so that she would inherit her stuff. Eleanor suspected that all of those shares were going to be split with Woodman. So who, Nate says, is the only person without motive, because he didn't actually want the money. And Sterling says, well, Schechter doesn't have motive. But Nate's like, oh, but Schechter knew that Galt wasn't going to marry Eleanor. So why was he pulling those financial statements for Galt? He's obviously embezzling.
Oh, my.
And then we get like some more banter with Nate and Sophie, where she's like, oh, I forgot how attractive this was. You know, pulling apart someone's well-laid plans. But then she's like, but you've never pulled apart mine. And Sterling's like, okay, anyways, we're back at square one. And Nate says, of the murder, yeah, but who cares about that? We're here about an art theft. So they go into Paolo's room. Did you think we'd forgotten about Paolo? No.
No.
Paolo is there. Everybody has an alibi for the times that someone was going in and out of the vault, except for Paolo, apparently. So if the person who killed Jonas stole the painting and none of them did it, and Sophie sits on the bed and Nate's looking around the room, and then he like lifts her feet up and like swings her legs under the bed and pulls out a drawer, and there is a wrapped painting in the drawer. It's Mom's.
And like a very provocative pose for Gina Bellman, by the way.
Yes.
We're getting like a lot of leg, but you know.
It's wonderful legs. It's a beautiful shot, but it is very flirty with her and Nate too. It's really cute. So then Paolo comes in and he's like, why are you in my room? And Sophie says, so the butler did it.
It's just kind of fun.
Right?
The butler did it.
I've always wanted to say that. Sterling's agents lead Paolo away in the next scene as all the guests are watching, and they take the wrapped painting into the living room or the grand salon or whatever you want to call it, and they put it on the stand to unwrap Mom's stare for the first time. And Sophie's like very eager, and she like steps forward, and they open it. And everyone oohs and ahs, and Sterling's like, are you sure it's the real thing? It's never been photographed or exhibited. And Katrina says, thanks to Jonas, I'm the world's leading expert in metier. And she kind of says, you know, the brush strokes are right, the color palettes, the texture, he stretches his own canvas. So those are his nails. Like, did he make his own nails? Okay. And she says she'd have to do more tests, but she feels confident to say that this is a metier and that this is Mama Stare. And everyone applauds. And Sterling says, okay, you know, it's cool. You can release the rest of the collection to the people who bought them. And we're going to tag this for evidence. And then we'll return it as soon as possible. And so Sterling walks away and he walks up to Sophie and says, you know, it's always nice to bring a thief to justice, even if it's not you. Or you, Nate. And he starts walking away. And Sophie's like, only one problem. That's not Mama Stare.
Dum, bum, bum.
Dum, bum, bum. And then we have like the turn in the episode.
Yes.
So Nate and Sophie have relocated to a barn that's obviously somewhere on the property. And Sophie's like very stressed out. She's pacing back and forth, and Nate's kind of interrogating her. He's like,
how do you know? Have you stolen it? Did you try to steal it?
Right? The curator thinks it's legit. How do you know it's not it? She's like, look, I know It could be a métier, but it's not Monastère. And she just needs him to trust her that she knows what she's talking about. And, you know, he's like, oh, you've seen it then. And she's like, no, not really. But like, what if I can prove it to you? So they need to prove that they're both métiers. They got to compare them to another métier. So he's like, how are we going to do that? They've all been sold to other rich people. And then he stops and he's like, no. So you can't go in there and steal a métier. Like, Sterling is still around. Like, you can't go steal another one or a real one. She's like, it's not stealing. I'm just going to borrow it so that we can prove that that one is a fake.
So you want to steal a painting, right? Basically, like, you want to steal a painting that you're accused of stealing that you're claiming you didn't steal, and then steal another painting.
Yeah. I mean, what, like, it's hard? So yeah, just to prove it's not real. And she's like, I don't want to, but I want you to take me at my word. We've been working together for 5 years. We've been sleeping together for two. Like,
have I not earned some trust here?
Yeah.
And Nate is still like, you're still being very sus right now.
Yeah. And he points out that Sterling is sitting right on top of Monastère. And she's like, are you telling me you can't outsmart Sterling? And he says, no, I can't. But he can't outsmart me either. And he's like, okay. You go get the métier and I'll deal with Sterling and get Monastère. And they kiss. And they go do their own
separate thing. It's very cute. It's very cute.
Yeah. So Sterling is telling an agent, like, they're wrapping up Monastère in a box, or they're putting it in a box. I guess you can't wrap something in a box. You know, we're going to put an evidence sticker on it, and then they'll take it when they finish all the interviews. And Nate shows up, and, you know, he's like, oh, I'm cool. I don't need anything. And he's just like, oh, is that it? It's, and he laughs, and,
like, he is just messing with Sterling's head.
Yeah, he is. And Sterling is like, you know, takes the bait. He's like, I found this stolen painting and the item in possession of the suspect. Like, that's my whole case. I don't need anything else.
I'll take this to a jury. Yeah, so.
Totally fine. And Nate's like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. And so Sterling's like, wait, you think I missed something? So,
like, you're seeing something I missed.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you? Yeah. And so, like, he rallies his minions and, like, check everything again.
Yeah. Because he's like, oh, you'd just love to see my whole case fall apart. I know you would. And so he's like, tells them to take it to the billiard room. And they go back all around. And outside, Katrina is talking to the art mover people and tells them, like, you know, all the shipping labels are already on. So you can get, once they get to the shipping house, you can send them to their destinations. And Frank, our delivery guy, is like, okay. And Katrina starts to walk away, and Sophie walks up and starts talking to the mover. And she's like, oh, goody, that's my painting. And she wants to take it off him right there instead of having it shipped, because she's like, no offense to you and your company. I've lost art in shipping before.
And I am the Duchess of Vanderhuisworth, and I would like my property.
Yes. Which... somebody pointed out that I've lost art in shipping before is probably a callback to the Rashomon job.
And yeah. Because that was her identity, the Duchess of Barrington Highsworth.
This is, yeah. So I love that little reference. And
I always love the little Easter eggs for the fans.
I know, they're so good. They're so good to us. But he's like, okay, well, I need to see some ID. And she's like, holding her clutch in her, like, little dress. She's like, do I look like I carry ID? No. Just give me my painting. And so she goes over to Katrina, Miss Hart, and she's like, she goes over and she kind of, like, whispers to her. But she's also has her clutch, which Sophie does not use for ID. She uses for neuro-linguistic programming, because she's tapping her on her arm as she's talking to her. And she's telling her that she really likes her security team and she wants their card, but they wouldn't give their contact info.
They're being very
Yeah. And she says he wouldn't give it to me. And that's when she's like tapping her. And you know, he said it's just protocol. It's, you know, whatever. So she, Katrina, like yells kind of over their shoulder. She's like, Frank, don't be paranoid. Just give it to her. Like parroting what Sophie had said, give it to me, instead of like anything that would be incriminating on Sophie. So he's like, thank you, Frank. Let's be friends. Don't pet. And so he gives her the painting with no ID.
This is Sophie at the height of her grifter powers. This is what she does. She just talks people into doing what she wants them to do. Like, remember the inside job when they're trying to get into the Wakefield building, and then Parker sneaking in, and then Hardison's fretting, like, I don't even know how to get into the security. And then Sophie's like, darling. Like, hackers and thieves, find entrances. Grifters, we make our entrances.
Exactly.
Or at that point when she's like, how am I supposed to know there was an alarm? If I'm doing my job right, then Mark turns off the alarm for me.
Precisely. Meanwhile, inside, Nate, who is still running his con on Sterling, is in Paolo's room with them, and he keeps doing the like warm, cold joke or game.
And driving Sterling insane.
Just bonkers. And so he like kicks him out. But he tells one of his agents to follow him. And then goes back to searching. And Nate walks along the porch and he's followed by one of the agents. But he picks up a towel in the kitchen and he like pops it in the oven that is on. And then like wanders by. And he goes to the billiards room, which is being guarded by an agent. And he says that he left his phone in there.
And doing like a really bad acting job. Oh, where is it? Where could it be?
My phone. Oh, man.
Darn it. Thank you. Really bad acting job here.
Right. So as soon as he's in there, he goes over to the window. Sophie's outside and she has the painting that she took from Frank. And then a cook opens the oven in the kitchen and notices all the smoke. And they start to evacuate people from the building. Mm-hmm. And Nate has the box. He takes the evidence sticker from the crate, takes it to the window, swaps it for the one that Sophie's already taken. And like, then,
and she meets him at the window, so they just do the swap.
Yeah. And he's just putting the sticker on it when the agent comes back. And he's like, just phone. I just can't find the darn phone. And then they leave. And so they're back in the barn. They have both paintings. And Sophie has a bottle of vodka and two martini glasses.
They're doing a little chemistry.
They're doing some chemistry. And I like this. They're doing chemistry, but they're not telling us exactly what it is. And that's fine. They don't have to. but we know that he used something called copal resin and clay earth that he found near his home to make his paints.
So you can't fake that composition. So, right.
Exactly. So, I guess they do tell us what they're doing. They're like some silver polish, some bleach, and top that off with some vodka. And he like smells it. He's like, I think I drank this in college. And she's like,
this is where I wish I had attended or like paid more attention to that art history class I audited. So this may have made more sense to me, but yeah.
So they do a little scraping and they put it in there and they light both on fire. And then he like looks at it with UV light and it's a match. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, they can't match. And, you know, but that's as close as they're going to get without having a lab. And we're not going to go steal a chemistry lab. And Sophie's just upset. Like, she was sure that this was going to be something else, but this kind of proves that it has to be Mama Stair. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, I like this, like, Nate finally is trusting her a little, because if she's this upset, he's like, okay, there is another possibility. If you really don't think this is Mama Stair and the paintings match,
maybe then
it is, or they're both fakes.
Because Sophie's like, what are the odds I just picked the two that are, out of all of them, the two that are the fake in the song?
And he's yeah, like,
maybe they're all so, fakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I think, a huge leap to make, but I think it's a leap that shows that he's like, he trusts.
He's trying to come up with something.
Yeah, to like corroborate what she's feeling and what she thinks. She obviously has some history with Metier, or his collection. And so they've gone back to Sterling. They're in the billiard room. And Sterling's like, okay. I love this scene, by the way, with all three of them. Let me get this straight. You stole not one, but two paintings. One of which you spent the entire day convincing me you had not stolen. Because your girlfriend here, an unrepentant, inveterate, professional liar. And she's like, that's uncalled for.
And so he's like, she was like, rude.
I know, but she's like straightening Nate's tie. And he laughs.
They're like not even really paying attention to him. Yeah. Which is like just pissing him off more.
Oh my gosh, it's so great. And he's like continuing to compound this evidence against them. And Nate's over like pouring drinks for him and Sophie. Just him and Sophie. And you know, now you're so sure that she's right that you not only think that this painting is a fake, but that every other Metier that was in the house was a fake. And Sterling, he's like, yeah. And Sterling's like, arrest them. And Sophie's like, on what charge? Theft. She's like, we brought the paintings back.
Obstruction. We're helping you. Being annoying.
And that's not a crime.
Is that a crime? No, it's absolutely not a crime. This.
And he's like, I don't care.
He has just been on a slow burn this whole episode. They are just aggravating him.
Oh my God, so funny. You know, and he says, do you have any idea what it would take to replace every one of these paintings with a forgery? And Nate's like, yeah, well, for starters, you'd probably need an elderly victim whose eyesight was shot so they wouldn't notice the switches. And Sterling's like, yeah, he'd have to repaint every painting. And Nate's like, yeah, so you'd need the time. And they're both like, months. You'd need detailed knowledge of Metier plus access to all the paintings. And most importantly, you'd need the ability to establish provenance. So you'd need to be able to declare without question that each of these paintings is real.
So that means Katrina is in on this.
Yes. And they go out to the lobby and she's talking with Fiona. And Sterling goes, hey, I don't suppose anybody here spent the last few years secretly replacing every Metier in the house with forgeries.
And just wants to confess.
Right. And Fiona and Katrina like look at each other and Fiona's like, no. And then she goes, and then she like makes a run for it.
And then and then Nate and Sophie are like, really? And Sterling's like, I didn't think that would work. And then they're like, and then she's and Sophie's like, she's getting and then Sterling, I didn't think it would work.
And they're running. And they get outside and Nate's like, okay, you go this way, I'll go this way. And they hear a scream and a splash. Mm-hmm. And so they run to the pool. And Katrina's in the water and Nate dives into the water to get her out. And he brings her over to the
side. Trying to do like a heroic rescue thing.
Yeah. And Nate gets her over to the side and Sterling's there. And you can see blood on the sidewalk or the...
Yeah.
What is that?
Poolside.
Yeah. I wanted to say the sidewalk of the pool. And they pull her up and
the pool deck. So I don't know.
Yeah. There's a word and I just can't think of it. Yeah. You know, so Sterling immediately, there's no crime scene investigators. He's like, she slipped, she hit her head, she fell in the pool, accidental death. Like, okay, man, like that's a snap judgment, don't you think? And he's like, all right, nothing like bringing a thief to justice. But Nate says, you know, you look at the bright side, you solved a theft and a murder. And once you go through her records, you'll find all the people that bought those stolen paintings. I mean, it had to have been a pretty big forgery ring.
So he's like, this is a good day for Sterling.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, and now I know where your new base of operations is too. And so he's like,
he thinks he walks off.
Yeah. But Nate's like, let's get the hell out of here before he changes his mind.
And she's like, yeah, let's book it. So like, it's illustrated the fact that yes, they are in fact afraid of him.
Right. They're like, because Sterling has never lost to them.
What has John always said? Sterling never loses. Sterling never loses.
That's right. Back at the brew pub, it's closed and they're sitting at the bar having a drink. And she, you know, they're kind of reminiscing. This was fun. This was a nice little outing. It was just like old times. Art theft, chasing, fancy dresses and tuxedos. But she's a little disappointed because she really wished she could have seen the real Mama Stare. Mm-hmm. And Nate's like, well, Sterling might find it when he goes through her files. And she apologizes, like, I'm sorry I couldn't tell you how I knew it was a fake, but it's personal and I really appreciate mm-hmm. you having faith in me. And he's like, yeah, you know, you made a good point. I should trust you, and I do. And then he like kind of stutters about how what they are, you know, you and me, we're, and then they kiss. And he like pulls back and he says, shoes. And she's like, what?
That's how I knew where you were. Because, mm-hmm. you know, your shoes were a little too fancy for like Jordy work at the theater, but not like too fancy that you can't run. And then you're like, you weren't looking at my feet. You can hear them. And for them, this is like romantic schmoopy. Like,
oh, this is foreplay.
This is schmoop.
Yeah. This is just heavy flirting. And then she's like, okay, well, what about the party? And he knew that if she's wearing the shoes, it was an event, which meant catering. So he called all the high-end caterers and found there was just one party, which was an art auction. And she finds his brain very voila. Sexy. Yeah.
So. The rest of them is beat up, but not too bad either.
Which is hilarious. And she tells him that she's got a change of clothes for the morning. And she goes off into headquarters to get it. Which is when I realized that, because in a second she comes back out of Leverage headquarters with the
more casual outfit.
She's got it like in a bag and she's still wearing her dress, but it only just occurred to me then that Nate isn't living at Leverage headquarters. Mm. Which, you know, he has in the past. Well, he didn't in the first season, but like, you know, the second building above the bar, like that was, they, you know, broke through into his apartment to build out their headquarters. And it was kind of just a sign of like how he was only the job. And this last series, they've moved. And I mean, Hardison set all of it up, but I don't know why I still assumed that Nate was living there. But I think Hardison is, and Parker's there sometimes. So I was like, oh, this is also another like hint at what Nate is seeing.
And that he's gotten healthier.
Exactly. His character arc. But she comes back with her clothes and Nate, who'd been sitting there a minute ago, has already said to himself, I'm such an idiot. And he has left. So she comes back out to like an empty
bar. And like, seriously?
Yeah. And we see that Nate has gone back to the mansion and he's standing looking at the empty space in the vault where the painting should have been. And he imagines Katrina moving the painting and an alarm going off. And he realizes, he says it out loud, it didn't matter how many times she came in and out, she still couldn't crack the second alarm. So there's no way she could have gotten it out without the alarm going off. And then like from out of frame, into frame, we just see a hand with a gun pointing at his head. And he's like, but you knew that already, didn't you? That like that device never gets old. I love like just the disembodied hand holding a gun to somebody's head, you know?
And you just hear the click.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Then we see that
we get some a tiny bit of an evil speech of evil, and then Nate is doing some heavy exposition dumping.
Yes,
what happened?
Yes, and I think it's because Woodman is just entirely boring, and because our villain is Woodman, and he's walking him down the hallway, and you know Nate's saying they'll hear a gunshot, and he says nah, the place is empty. There's been too much death. Everybody's freaked out.
So it all comes back into play. Why, like, the fact that he went to art school. So, like, he's not good at doing his own stuff, but he's good at faking other people's shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, now he's come back to Daddy's and he sees basically just plethora of opportunities. Basically.
Whole house of valuable paintings with its own curator who was a lonely curator. So we're imagining that he like also seduced her, and
we flash back, yeah, mm-hmm,
to Katrina saying that the Interpol agent found out about the forgeries, where she's like she ran to him at the pool
after Sterling made his like anybody just want to confess that they've been like faking métiers.
You never know when you're gonna get lucky, and he picks up a brick and hits her over the head with it, knocking her into the pool.
Yeah.
The timing on this is iffy for me because like that's real fast. Like she ran away like seconds before. But okay. And then he like wipes the blood on the brick at the side of the pool. So there's still a bloody brick somewhere on the property. So it'll be easy to prove that later.
Forensics. Yeah.
So, you know, Nate's like, so you'd switch out a painting every couple of months? And when did you decide to go after Mama Stare? And you see this flashback of him trying several combinations.
And because they had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
And I think we saw that landscape. And then mm-hmm. I think we see that Jonas looking. And then I think that's then when we see that's why Jonas started getting suspicious. He got the printout and changed it.
Yeah, he sees them from his bedroom window.
Yeah.
Looking at a painting. And he's like, huh. So, yeah, and he saw that somebody was coming in and out of the vault. But the painting that he sees from the window, though, is you're right. It's a landscape.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he's... He saw that, got suspicious, saw the
people going the in printout and out of the access code. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what prompted him to change the code.
Yeah. But his question though is like, why did you go in and out so many times? And Woodman's like, oh, you think you got it all figured out. Maybe you're not as smart as you think you are. And you know, Nate's like, I'm smarter than you. I'm smart enough not to kill my partner. Cue Sophie hitting Woodman over the head with a vase of flowers. And she's very
almost
angry.
almost like she did a beat-down bailout job with those Boston thugs, like who were like a
frying pan.
Pan, yeah. Does your mother sew? With her Annie Croy accent, I think it was. I
love her Annie Croy accent.
But she is displeased. She's displeased.
You are compulsive, obsessive, selfish. He's like, we should run. And Woodman's coming after them. So this is, now we're back to the first scene of the episode. And they're being
with chased. The shooting, and Sophie is still venting at him.
Yeah.
And now everything she is saying makes sense. Like, if you had just... What gone to the movies if you just had to be Nate Ford and too curious for your own good?
And he tells her that she needs to run. And so she takes off and Woodman rushes at Nate, who grabs the gun. They struggle. And then he handcuffs Woodman to a crate and then pushes him and the crate into the pool. And Sophie, you know, saunters back out. From where she just ran, and she's like, oh, you kept the cuffs naughty.
Oh, God.
And then she's like,
that they're still flirting at this moment is just.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. It's still foreplay. And she's like, that's the shallow end, right? And he's like, oops. Okay, but quick before we go on to the next thing, a thing that bothered me.
Oh, yes.
So Sophie, before Nate realizes who must have done it, Sophie leaves and she comes back. When she comes back with her dry cleaning bag, she's still wearing the exact same outfit. But when she meets Nate, she's wearing the same dress, but she's changed from heels to like knee-high leather boots. Which I'm like, she took the time to change these knee-high leather boots and then hightail it after him. Maybe they're easy to get into. Maybe they have like a big zipper down the side. But if these are like completely pull-on boots, like no, you need a good 10 minutes. Especially if you're stressed out, like everything takes so much
longer. My legs are too short. I don't deal with boots. So,
I mean, if there's a zipper, but I was just like, that's so weird that she changed shoes. I'm sure it made sense. Well, for her. Okay,
so I think like Sterling is back. Like Sterling's is back. There someone else you want me to like
arrest for the same crime, or is 3 your lucky number?
He is so over them, Steve. He is like sick of them.
Yeah, he's like, I just want to go away. And Nate's like, no, that's it. He got Mama Stare out, but Galt had changed the code before he could get the fake into place. Mm. And you know, you couldn't let a perfectly good fake go to waste, so they framed Paolo. Poor Paolo.
Poor creepy Paolo.
Because yeah, earlier when they arrest him, part of you is thinking, but he doesn't say why he did it. And he's so devoted to him. It's really weird. Mm. Okay. And then you move on. And then later you think back to it. So, you know, Sterling's like, the real Mama Stare? We'll get it out of him. Don't worry. turns out you're still the second best detective I've ever known. And Nate's like, so are you.
Oh, God.
And then they're kind of flirting too.
That after Nate had did him a solid and helped rescue his daughter,
right?
That they'd be cool.
Well, he said that this was his, because, you know, Nate said, you owe me. And he's like, this is me paying you back, not immediately putting you in jail.
I mean, doesn't rescuing your daughter, like, doesn't that merit more than a one? Like, owe you more than a one? You know, if someone helps rescue your daughter, don't you owe them more than a one?
I think so, but that's not how Sterling thinks. Sterling thinks this is him being very generous. Very generous. So yeah, he says, you know, if you ever want to do this again, you can call me. I'm hiring and you can bring the art thief. And Sophie's like, X.
Art thief. Why does nobody remember the X?
So they are back at the vault again, staring at the empty space where Mama Stare would have been. And Sophie's like really sad. She's like, I just really would have liked to have seen it just to know. And so Nate's like, how does a forger defeat a 2-tiered security system in less than an afternoon? I mean, when they don't have those skills, and the skills he does have is in construction. So he picks up a crowbar, and he busts through the drywall. And then
apparently freshly thrown up drywall.
Yes, because we see in the flashback that all he had to do was wait until after the auction and they could have come to get this because Schechter was going to turn off the alarm on the painting because there's no painting anymore. And then they could come back. They just had to keep it hidden. So he built a false wall and hid the painting there. And we see a glimpse of this painting, and it's of a young woman kind of like looking over her shoulder, and she does not look like she's wearing any clothes. And we discover that it is Sophie. She says she bared her soul to him. Nate says, and you bared more than that.
And this explains why women's like, have we met before? You seem familiar.
Yeah. So Metier had promised her that it would never be seen by the world till after her death.
But she was 19 and very naked.
Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. And then he says, I think you look better now. And she's like, oh, Mr. Ford, you're quite the charmer.
And they kind of just walk off.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well.
And that's the episode.
And I'm kind of sad. This is my final episode.
Of the first series, but we're coming back. There'll be lots of other ones.
Do we have a firm date of when the second one is dropping?
No, not yet. Mm. Real quick, let's do, I've got one more thing on, like a little tidbit on this episode. So there were several Doctor Who references, like we said, and also Mark Sheppard himself is a Doctor Who reference because he was on an episode of Doctor Who. He played
Is there a show that man hasn't been on?
No, I don't think so, honestly.
He's guest starred on everything.
Yeah.
And they better have him back for the next one.
We'll see. With no Nate, it'd be really interesting to see how that is.
I mean, it can't be. It's not the same without Sterling, Steve. They have to bring him back.
I mean, I want him back, but John Rogers still hasn't called me about my ideas, so.
I'm pretty sure when they announced the reboot, Mark like tweeted at them like, ahem, ahem.
Yeah, he's like, Supernatural's over. I need another steady gig, so.
I'm just saying, I'm available.
Yeah. All right. Any more thoughts on this episode?
Yeah. I like, art is not my thing, but I did like the Nick and Nora of it. And I thought it was interesting that they had the two-parter where they split the crew up. So, yeah. And I don't remember when I first saw it, what I was thinking, why Sophie was being all cagey about it. So, like, I don't remember if I put it together that she was the subject, she was Mama Stair, and that's why she was like, that is not Mama Stair. So, yeah, but
I'm trying to remember what I thought. I think that I assumed that it was her.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay. Do you have a heist light?
No. Okay, so I found something that's the world's most wanted art exhibition. It says, lost in history and shrouded in secrecy, a gallery of art is hidden from the world. But what if you could see the artworks again? Missing Masterpieces is a world first exhibition to help find priceless pieces of lost art, bringing together some of the most famous missing artworks for the first time and showing on the frame in stunning, ultra high definition. It's like a digital collection of rare and treasured masterpieces.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, give me a second. Okay. So this is a thing I found from the art newspaper from July of last year, and it's about alleged art forgery in Michigan.
Ooh.
And like the subheadline is art historians explain why the work of lesser known artists with rising markets like George Copeland Ault and Gertrude Abercrombie might become the target of a fake scheme. Apparently, earlier that month, the FBI raided a home near Traverse City, Michigan. Side note, apparently the cherry capital, Traverse City, a part of investigation into what a national crime ring, the property belonged to an artist named Donald Henkel, age 60, who authorities accused of allegedly stealing counterfeit paintings and sports memorabilia in a multi-million dollar years-long scheme with conspirators in California, Florida, and Virginia. So this is the interstate thing, which is why the feds are involved. Though no arrests have been made as of the date of this article. What makes it interesting in saying that these involve artists who are not as big a name as opposed to this other gallery in 2011, which had included fakes of like Jackson Pollock and Rothko. So they're listing some paintings, like I mentioned before, George Copeland Ault, Ralston Crawford, Abercrombie, a historian named Alexander Nemiroff from Stanford. They're saying they were good. Usually forgeries, even though well painted, are tone deaf pastiches of an artist recognizable moves in thieves. but they're saying, you know, the work that was sold, these are sold for like $270,000. Don't you wish you had that kind of money lying around? they're just saying these are good quality. They're saying, the artists say that not any particular, apparently this type of art isn't easy to forge. But I don't know. So basically they're saying this was easier to fake because it makes in the sense because there'd be unknown because the artist was a recluse. And so, they're lesser known. So I guess it'd be easier to get away with, I guess. So, So that is it. I found an art forgery ring in Michigan, of all places.
Fascinating.
I'll send you a link to the thing.
Okay. I do have a few little pieces of info, just leverage to related, that have come up.
Oh, yay.
There was a teaser photo released with the new crew. Well, most of the new crew. So it had Sophie Hardison, Elliot Parker, and Noah Wiley in a car.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
So that just came out. That was really exciting to see, like some actual promotional stuff. Like, we don't have any dates yet or anything, but you know, it's real. They had a photo shoot, or they at least photoshopped people into a car together. And Robin and I think we had a whole, I was like, I want to read into the symbolism of all of the seating arrangements and like, why are people seated here? And this is how I would have seated things, because they have, Noah Wiley is driving the car, which I think is very interesting. That is not, because to me that implies like, this is the person who's behind the wheel, who's in charge. And I don't know if I'm going to be happy if that's what Noah Wiley's doing, but who knows? Then Hardison and Parker are sitting together in the front seat with him. And then Elliot is in the back on the passenger side, and Sophie's on the left. And so I was like thinking, I was like, okay, well, how would I have arranged them? Like, I would have put the trio in front because they're my trio, and and they're kind of like running things as of the end of the series, spoiler alert.
Right.
But then that would put Sophie and Noah Wiley in the back seat, and then people would already start being like, okay, are they going to be a couple? Like, what's going on there? And you don't,
I mean, I really I am interested. I am really interested to see how they're going to explain Nate's absence.
Yes, you said that last time. I think everybody.
Sorry, I don't remember.
Everybody, I was just listening to it. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be really interesting. So,
I mean,
yeah.
For the people seating, who love
reading this so much.
For the people who love Nate and Sophie, it would break their heart if Sophie reveals that she and Nate are like, she left Nate and that it's over. Like, that would break their heart. But I mean, right now I can't come up with a conceivable reason why she would be back and he would not be back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you know, like, Jimmy's dead, so it's not like, oh, Jimmy is sick, so he's like taking time to spend time to take care of Jimmy. Not that he ever would, do that anyways. Right. Right. So, like, I mean, like, maybe he got together back together with Maggie. I mean, Or maybe just something has been happening with Maggie, and that's why he's not there. But then that would all, I don't know.
I think he's going to be dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a real permanent solution they're going for. I mean, if they had gone with the, like, you know, he's just helping Maggie with the thing, like, there's a conceivable thing where he might come back or, like, whatever, but, like, killing him off is a...
That's the best way to not give it an option for him to come back. Okay, something else that I saw. Oh, it was really cute. Gina Bellman's so cute. If you don't follow her on Twitter, you need to. Last week, she tweeted a question. She was like, hey, Leverage people, like Leverage fans, what episode was it where I played a Russian and I had a turtle? And the people were like, oh, it was the Blue Line Job. And like sending her pictures. And she's like, oh, thank you so much. And then this week, because they're in New Orleans, and New Orleans got hit by this bad weather as well, and her pipes froze.
Dear.
And she's like, yeah, and she's like not, I guess, had to deal with that. She's from New Zealand. And so she was like asking people for advice. She's like, because Sophie has to wash her hair. So she ended up going to a hotel, and she's like, yay, now Sophie will have clean hair.
Oh my God.
And my last little thing is that today, February 19th, John Rogers was tweeting, and I hadn't known for certain if he was writing or doing much with the reboot. And he tweeted that he just, so it's, he's got a little thread and he says, just DM'd someone a link to a report of a corporation doing an unspeakable thing that is even worse than the evil thing I just wrote in an episode. With the text, I can't decide whether to puke or cry, and thought, yes, definitely back on Leverage. Forgot that feeling. And the next tweet is, we can't out evil the real people, no matter how hard we try. And I'm doing this one sober. Fuck. It's literally the exact same plot. When this comes out, you'll assume that we based this episode on X, when it actually preceded X by weeks in the writing. And so one, that's how I found out that he was
definitely very much involved in the reboot.
Exactly. And two, that because somebody else said sober, and that during this pandemic, he's been sober this whole time because he's like, it would be a slippery slope. I would really be an alcoholic if I weren't. So
yeah.
I think that's a really smart call. If you have that tendency to like to drink a little too much, to say, hey, maybe for my mental health, maybe for my mental health, this is not the best time to be drinking heavily. Like, good on you, John Rogers. Love you. And I think that's all I've got.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. Okay, Jonathan Frakes posted that picture on February 7th.
Hmm.
So cute. But yeah, it doesn't have any date on it or anything. Interesting font, though. But yeah, I retweeted it on my Twitter, but I will retweet it again. So if you follow me on Twitter at LibrarianSteen, you can go find it if you haven't seen it already. And that was my social media plug. Lisa, how can people find you on the internet?
They can't. No, I'm kidding.
That's fair.
I'm in La Foresta Fun if you want to find me.
All right. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. You won't see us again, but you'll hear us again maybe today if I put both episodes up on the same time, at the same time, or maybe in 2 weeks. The next episode will be the rundown job, and the one after that will be the low, low price job, depending on what order I release these episodes.
So, whatever the win, whatever the, you know,
the wins.
However the spirit moves you.
Exactly. You know, I'm fickle. I'm fickle. Thank you for coming on, Lisa.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been fun. I can't believe it's been like 2-3 years.
Right? It's wild.
Like, if that's gonna be a hill you want to die on, okay.
Yes. Yes, oh. It is a hill I will die on.
Okay.
Fast-talking lushes who love each other and solve murders together and have an annoyingly cute dog. What's not to love?
Am I arguing with you? Okay.
No. But you're saying okay in a very condescending voice.
That's not true.
Listeners, you heard her. It was condescending.
That is not true. And you are missing tone and context, people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, people.
Context, they heard the whole thing. I'm not cutting any of this out. I'm just kidding.